Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage emphasizes the power of patience and gentle speech in persuading others and resolving conflicts. Moreover, we should practice moderation in all things and never give a false testimony. The end of today's passage emphasizes the importance of self-control and likens a person without it to a city with broken walls. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 25, verse 15, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his message on this chapter.
A soft answer turns away wrath.
You know that really works? They're yelling, they're screaming, and you give a soft answer. They got to quiet down to hear you. What did you say? A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous or harsh words stir up anger. Again, the power that there is in the human tongue. Didn't James tell us in chapter 3 that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity? That's true. A little spark can create such chaos. It happens all the time, inside and outside of the church. Gentleness and kindness overcome the most powerful and obstinate. The gentle tongue breaking a bone might seem to be a paradox, but it's a fine illustration of the power of gentleness above hardness and irritation. Gentleness. Now, gentleness doesn't mean weakness. King David, the warrior, the Goliath slayer. You remember what he said in Psalm 18 about God? His gentleness has made me great. Just the exact opposite of the world. His gentleness makes me great. We're learning here tonight, just in this proverb, gentleness, humility, speaking softly, preferring one another. Oh, how blessed it is. How blessed it is. Have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest you be filled therewith and vomited. I have two of my grandsons who love honey. I'm going to remember this passage of Scripture on Sunday. Mama Lizzie makes these incredible buns. They come out of the oven, and there they are, Anthony and Vincenzo. They want the honey bear. You know the honey bear? They just don't put a little bit of honey on it. They soak it. So this is a verse. I'm going to, have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for you. Only what you need. Leave something for grandpa and grandma after you leave. That's what it probably says in the Amplified Bible. But you know what? Seriously here. We are cautioned here to take heed of excess, right? Because something that is good, if it's taken beyond moderation, ceases being good. We are told to be moderate in all things. Matthew Henry so beautifully wrote, "The pleasures of sense lose their sweetness by the excessive use of them." How many times have you sat down and you've taken maybe a second helping of something that tasted really good? The first helping was great. The second helping, by the time the plate is halfway full, you go, why did I do that? You know, the Bible, I mean, this is a no-brainer. There's so much wisdom in the Bible that relates to just how to live our daily lives to its fullness. Withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he be weary of you and so hate you. In other words, beware of being a pest, overextending yourself in your neighbor's house. To abuse a neighbor's hospitality is a sure way to lose it. But you know what's interesting to me? We have a friend, his name is Jesus. He's greater than any friend. And he tells us, you keep coming to me. I'll never get tired of you coming. You're never going to go to the throne of grace. And he's going to say to you, now, Reuben, enough is enough. You know, you're never going to go to him and pour out your heart to him. He's not going to say to you, he's not going to say joy, okay? I've had just about enough with you kids. No. That's the beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to be given to hospitality. But there are some people who kind of like abuse hospitality. You know what I mean? I don't know where that line is, but it can happen. I don't want to give you any personal examples because I don't want you to think anything less, but it can happen. Well, let me give you one example. You say, well, come on over. Stick around for a while. And there it is, it's midnight, and they're still going, and you're over there. And then the sad thing about that, Michael, is that when you wake up, you go, well, you know, you missed about half of it. Go, oh, Lord. But now we should be given the hospitality. And honestly, I think it's when we are given to hospitality, kingdom hospitality. That's really where we develop our relationships with one another, right? You're in my home, I'm in your home. We get to know one another. We're not passing one another up. We get to pray with one another. It's just a beautiful thing. That's how you know, the more you get to know people, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the more that you get to know people, the more compassion you have for them. You learn how to pray for people. That's one of the ways where you cultivate the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Spirit aren't just for when you walk into a church building, you flip on the lights, you go, okay, here we go. They are to be happening 24/7, just listening to the Lord, being led by the Lord. And so there is a time when you have to tell somebody, hey, you know, I think it's time for you to leave. Well, didn't Paul the Apostle say in Corinthians, what? Do you not have houses to eat and to drink in? In other words, it's time for you to go home. And that was at a love feast. So, okay, some of you are giving me that look. You never have to worry about being too much in the presence of God. In fact, we never spend enough time in the presence of God. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul. That word maul is a sledgehammer and a sword, and a sharp arrow, all weapons of the day that were used to inflict damage. To bear false testimony or false witness of others is really likened to declaring war on others with the intent of inflicting damage to them. Bearing false witness, you know, is a violation of the ninth commandment. One commentator said this, I think it was a good advice. The next time you are tempted to pass on a bit of gossip with the intent of hurting, imagine yourself stabbing the victim of your remarks with a sword. Hopefully that will shock you into silence. But you know, the words can pierce, can't they? Ever hear this that old that we used to say in school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hit me. I've been hurt more by words than sticks and stones. And you have too. Don't let anybody tell you that words don't hurt. They do. They really do. But good words heal, right? Good words, the gospel. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, you don't really need to comment much in there, right? As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that sings songs to a heavy heart. Again, the ISV says, taking your coat off when it's cold or pouring vinegar on soda. That's what singing songs does to a heavy heart. In other words, it's so absurd of singing songs to a heavy heart. Sometimes, even with the best intentions, this can happen. This can happen. I believe that prayer and compassion and pointing hurting people to the Lord is the best medicine for a discouraged or a depressed heart, or just being there. How many of you know that when someone is hurting, you don't have to give them a sermon? Just being there, putting your arms around them, and telling them you love them. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. Sound familiar? Well, yeah, if you've been reading the book of Romans lately, Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. In other words, it's mine, not yours. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, in other words, you don't take vengeance. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him, not nuke him. If he thirst, give him drink, not poison. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, don't live by the Old Testament law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Paul understood it in this sense. It's manifest from the words which he immediately subjoins after quoting it, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what the idea here is. He who overcomes an enemy by kindness gains a victory that makes both parties blessed. I was reading years ago of an account during the Civil War where President Abraham Lincoln was determined to free the slaves. And he had a cabinet member that was vehemently opposed to him and says, no, 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 there are enemies. We have to defeat them. And Abraham Lincoln says, no, the best way to defeat them is to make them your friend. Then they're no longer your enemy. Overcome evil with good. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Right? I mean, there's nothing vague. There's nothing cryptic about it. The hard thing is what? The hard thing is doing it. Don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about people who are going to trust in him, who are going to be opposed, vehemently opposed. And he says, this is how I want you to respond. Why does he say, love your enemies, bless them to curse you, do good to them to hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven? For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect or mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Isn't it interesting? Let's just say that you have a neighbor who is obstinate and not very nice. Did you ever notice how when it's a sunny day in your yard, it's a sunny day in his yard? When it rains in your yard, it rains in their yard. That's the point. The Lord says, I want you to represent me. And this is not comfortable. This is not easy. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to love our enemies, don't we? We need the Spirit of God to bless those that curse us. We need the Spirit of God to do good to them that hate you and to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. You can overcome evil with good. I'm sure every one of you has a story that you can tell, but since I have the microphone, I'm going to give you one story. How powerful this is. When I worked at Boise Cascade, and I worked second and third shift, let me just say, I mean, I'm the chief of the sinners, but I'm a redeemed sinner. There was one other guy in our whole department that was born again. He was a sweet guy. But there was one guy who hated us because we were Christians, really did. And I think one of the purposes for him coming to work every day was to make life miserable for us. And so, true story, so when it was break time, I would follow this man down to the break room, and he had a certain kind of, he liked coffee with creamer and sugar, and he liked these this kind of donut. So I watched him and go, wow, he really likes this. So you know what I did? I got into work early a few days, and I had coffee, bought him the coffee, put it right on his machine. He goes walking, Jesus, Frank. He goes, oh, what's this? No, I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. But the other guys in the department go, where'd this come from? Now, he didn't change his tune, but the level went from like 100 decibels to about 20. Try it. You overcome evil with good. Try it. It works. It really, really does. The north wind drives away rain, and so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Once again, Matthew Henry says, how we must discourage sin and witness against it, and particularly the sin of slandering and backbiting. We must frown upon it, and by giving it an angry countenance, endeavor to put it out of countenance. Slanderers would not be so readily spoken as they are if they were not readily heard. The north wind drives away rain, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. So, did you ever practice putting on a mean face? You guys have a mean face? You don't? No, you guys are all so sweet. You are. You're really sweet. But you have to, from time to time, you have to learn to put on a mean face. Somebody comes up to me and says, you know that Paul Boucher? And I go, I don't have to say anything. You know Paul Boucher? Maybe with a little grunt. They'll stop talking. That's what the Bible says. You believe it? How much scripture is given by inspiration of God? All of it. Is it profitable? Yeah, it works. And so next time, little backbiting, boom, give them that look. All right, verse 24. I'm going to do this real quick. It is better to dwell in the corner of a house stopped than with a brawling woman in a white house. Okay, let's move on to verse 25. Yikes! Oh, man. Should we call up the worship team right now? This was also mentioned in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, and Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19. I guess three is a charm. Well, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? Let me say this. I do seriously feel very, very bad for any husband that is dwelling with a brawling and a contentious woman. I thank God for my wife. She's the exact opposite. But I would also add here, and I believe with the approval of the Lord, that the same holds true for a woman who is living with a man that is contentious and angry. They are just not pleasant people to be around. Do you like to be around contentious and angry people? No. Show me the exit. Just not nice to be around. Okay. As cold waters to a thirsty or weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh, again, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Beloved, there is nothing that so refreshes our souls like the word of God. Nothing. A verse of scripture packs the power to dispel the anxiety and darkness of his soul. Verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. The Amplified Bible says this, like a muddied fountain and a polluted spring is a righteous man who yields, falls down, and compromises his integrity before the wicked. Whenever the righteous yield to the wicked, the very fountains of virtue are corrupted. David was a man after God's own heart. There's no doubt about it. God says he was. Remember when he went and fought Goliath? What was it that caused him to want to go out and fight Goliath? He had heard him blaspheme the name of God, remember? And he told his brothers, who is this guy that's blaspheming the name of God? So David, in the spirit, he goes out and he fights Goliath. And he beats him by the grace of God. But what happened when David was in the flesh and he fell into sin with Bathsheba? You know what Nathan the prophet told him? By doing what you've done, you've given the enemies of God a reason to blaspheme his name. There's a lesson for us, guys. There's a lesson for us. In other words, when it came to David, when it came to his flesh, at least in that incident, his flesh was more important than the honor of God. Satisfying his flesh was more important than honoring God. And we can be warriors when it comes to Goliaths. May we be warriors when those fleshly lusts rise up within us. Because when a righteous man or a woman falls down before the wicked, it's a troubled fountain. There's forgiveness. Thank God for that. But this is so true. How many times have you gone to a family thing and you're the believer sharing the gospel, and then they're going to bring up somebody that fell, some television personality, and all of a sudden you just don't have audience to them anymore. God help us. Help us not to be a muddied fountain and a polluted spring, but may we be men and women who walk not in self-righteousness, but in God-imputed righteousness. It is not good to eat much honey. That's another verse from my grandsons. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. For men to search for their own glory, to long for public applause, to be covetous of popularity. Wasn't that the Pharisees? Remember? Everything that they did to be seen of men. Oh, he must be fasting. Well, how do you know? They got that long face. They would even paint their face. When they gave, they would ring a little bell. Imagine going up to the agape box. Ding, goes a check. No. To dwell on the glory or honor that you think you deserve will only make you bitter, discouraged, or angry, because it quenches the spirit and grieves the spirit of God. And at least until you repent, it makes you of no value to the Lord. Verse 28, and we'll be done. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We saw this in chapter 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that takes the city. Even though city walls restricted the inhabitants' movements, people were happy to have them around. You know why? Because without walls, they would have been vulnerable to attack by any passing group of marauders. And the lesson here is that an undisciplined, out-of-control life is open to all sorts of enemy attacks. Think of self-control as a wall of defense in your life. Actually, self-control is not really self-control, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Temperance, controlled by the Spirit. I just love the Proverbs, don't you? 31 Proverbs, usually, you know, you can read, today's the third, you read the third proverb, and after a while, they just become a part of you. They just get into your soul, they get into your spirit, and you find yourself just supernaturally walking in the wisdom of them. That's why it's so important that we renew our mind with the Word of God. Spending time with the Lord, talking to the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and saying, you know, difficult times lie ahead for you and I in this nation, on this planet. Difficult times. There's the hammer's going to drop on the born-again Christian church soon, very soon. And you and I better be men and women who live close to the Lord, abide in the Lord, walk with the Lord, stay in fellowship with other believers. This is something that is so important.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.